listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Today we're talking to a young man who was born with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is caused by abnormal development or damage of parts of the brain that control movement, balance, and posture. And most often the problems occur during pregnancy. However, they may also occur during childbirth or shortly after birth. Often the cause is unknown. And here to tell us his story is Seth Green of Tennessee. Seth, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks very much.
No problem, sir. It's a pleasure to be on.
Seth, I want to ask you, what's it like for you growing up with cerebral palsy?
When I was little, people would think, you know, children that are young, say around the age of like 7 to 8 years old, would have a rough time with it. But the Shriners Hospital, they really did a great job of handling my disability and taking care of me and making sure that I was, you know, comfortable, you know, in my surroundings, and worked with me very well. But as time went on and I got up, you know, into late elementary school and through middle school and high school, started getting made fun of from people that didn't really show compassion, if you want to call it that. But I just started getting made fun of more and more, and it was really taking a toll on me to where I didn't want to go outside and play or hang out with my friends, anything like that, and just stay in my room. And I just felt like that I needed to do something before, you know, I started going crazy. So when I finally started to stick up for myself, so to speak, I found myself hanging out with a group of people that smoked cannabis and everything. And so they saw me as just a normal human being. And I automatically latched myself on to those people because they was sticking up for me in school.
One of the things about being a kid and having a disability is, boy, you can really be teased by other kids, and it's based on ignorance.
Yeah, and till this day, you know, some people ask me, Seth, are you still mad at them? And I always tell them, no, I'm not. It's just because either their parents raised them wrong, or that, you know, kids will be kids, and almost every kid will go through a phase where they're in some type of trouble in some way.
Seth, when you were younger, were you, like, what kind of physical limitations did you have as a result of this? Were you in a wheelchair? Were you able to walk? Did you have spasticity? Boy, that was tough, but I did it.
I was not in a wheelchair. I was able to walk because I would go to Shriners every year to get Botox, and it would help my muscles some, and it would help me to walk a little bit better. And every year I would get fitted for a new brace. And so, yes, I could walk, but I had a little bit of a limp because my right hip is actually turning inwards. And so that's why I'm walking with a little bit of a limp. And so that was one of the limitations. And then one of the other things was my arm. It would stick out like I was going to get arrested, but I couldn't bend it. So it would just stick out like a tree branch or something like that. And so that was the only limitations physical-wise other than me being able not to talk and say stuff properly sometimes.
Okay, so it did affect your speech as well.
Yes.
I noticed, too, you know, I was reading that at 13 you developed MS and also experienced your first seizure then. And also,
yes.
And then not long after that, scoliosis.
Yeah, when I first had my very first seizure, the night before, I got a migraine headache, and I've always had migraine headaches, and it just seemed like a old regular headache, and it got worse as the night went on, and I woke up about, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I told my mom that, you know, I'm going, you know, to use the bathroom because I felt so sick to my stomach. And so as I was closing the door to go into the bathroom, my mom looked at me and she could see my eyes going and rolling in the back of my head. And I fell down and hit the shower door. And that was the last thing I remember. And they said I was actually, my heart stopped for about 45 seconds because where it was the very first seizure I ever had and my mom ever experienced, she did not know what to do. And so when she seen I was bleeding out the mouth from biting my tongue, she didn't know whether to roll me over on my side or not. So the blood clogged up my air passage for about close to a minute, and my heart stopped because when I woke up, I had my mom next to me, and then I had the EMS people next to me, and they was just asking me all kinds of questions, and I seen that the heart paddle things out, but I seen that they wasn't used, so I, you know, was asking them about that, and they said that you was turning blue and purple and not even breathing, and so we was about to use these paddles, and then they said once we turned you over to your side, so much blood rushed out of my mouth, and that's what saved me.
Wow. Bad enough for you to be dealing with cerebral palsy, but to have all of this on top of it, how did you cope with all that?
At first, dealing with it, with that first seizure, I did not realize the extent it would have on me. And when I started developing seizures and having all of these grandma seizures, it was causing me, my body to twist and turn in so many ways, and that's how I developed the scoliosis and the EMS. But how I've dealt with it is just where I've grown up in church, and I'm very religious. You know, I've got faith in God that He will help me through this, and I just try to pretty much put myself in other people's shoes that has my illness, because I'm very lucky to even be able to walk, because there's so many other families out there with children that has cerebral palsy, and they cannot even do nothing.
Were you on a bunch of medications as a child?
As a child, I honestly do not recall being on too many types of medications, because, like I said, I was not experiencing seizures or anything like that. So they just diagnosed me with a mild case of cerebral palsy. And but when I started having the seizures and all of the other illnesses started pouring in, so to speak, that's when the doctors was putting me on so many different types of medications and everything. And when I would go home to look up the side effects of these medications that the doctors would be prescribing me, the side effects would be seizures, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, or insomnia. And I'm just like, well, that's another pill that you have to prescribe to me on top of that to help that. So I was up 20 to 21 different types of medications.
During this period, and you're taking all these medications, were you actually getting depressed?
Oh, goodness, yes. I was so depressed. Sometimes I did not even think, I didn't even know where I was. Some people probably don't know where I'm coming from when I say my head's cloudy. But when I was taking all these medications, yes, I was so depressed. And it made my head so cloudy to where I would act like I would be drunk, per se, and to where you could not hold your head up. But I would still be, you know, in a sober mind, so to speak, but I could not hold my head up. The front of my head would get so cloudy to where when I even try to open my eyes, that the light and sound of everything would make it worse.
So you felt like a zombie?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the closest thing I could say that I came to, you know, because I will give you an example. I was in my room one night, and I just got done finishing my daily routine, so to speak, of looking up medical marijuana research and things like that. And I was watching television, and my mom asked me if I wanted something to eat. And I don't know what happened, but I told her, you know, if she did not get out of the room, that I was going to pretty much, you know, hurt her. And after that was said and everything, it just seemed like, what did I just do? And I looked at my mom and I was like, I'm so sorry, mother. You know, I did not even really know what I was saying. What do you know? What did I really say that? I'm sorry. So yeah, the medicines really messed with my mind very, very badly. And the doctors already knew this. They knew that, you know, that these medications would do this to me, even though that my brain was already messed up from the cerebral palsy, and it, you know, it causing a stroke. But they're willing to give me all these pills.
During this time, Seth, did you ever think of suicide?
Sometimes, yes, I would have to say yes. I would think about suicide once in a blue moon, but like I said earlier, just I would look back at the people that I knew whose family that had cerebral palsy, one of their, you know, sons or daughters, that could not even talk or walk or nothing of that nature. And I would always remember my mom saying, you know, you're very lucky and blessed to be able to even walk and talk.
Now, Seth, you said during the earlier that you got together with a group of friends, and
yes,
they smoked marijuana. Tell us about your cannabis use today and how that has assisted you.
It has assisted me very well, more than the government will ever know, especially my state. It has helped me so much to where, like I've said in a lot of my interviews, it has saved my life in a lot of ways, and in other ways, it's gave me a reason to live, because when I was having all of those seizures at that young age, you know, I just felt like I could not do anything, you know, and I couldn't accomplish anything. I would always have to sit here and, you know, somebody take care of me. But I didn't want that. So when I started to find out the truth about cannabis and what all it really does help on the medical side and not just wanting to get high, I found my new purpose, because I've told many people I found a woman that is very close to me. She used to live in Kansas City, Missouri, and she has cerebral palsy, and now she lives in California, and she is able to do all of these things that I was wishing that I could do. And when I seen that video, it gave me a new life and a new aspect, you know. Hey, you could do so much more like her and possibly educate more people about this plant and hopefully get them to understand and help them get it legalized, because it's helped me so much to where I can't even explain it. It's been a godsend to me.
I was just reading, you know, one of the things I read, Seth, was that you have a hard time speaking because your throat feels tight and stuck. But when you use cannabis, it helps open your throat. I mean, you know, listening to you, you do an amazing job speaking. If I didn't know that you had this issue, I wouldn't have noticed anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I do speak and I use cannabis, yes, thank the Lord that I can speak and everything. When I do not use it and I go, let's say, 1 to 3 days without using cannabis, I can kind of start seeing the effects taking its toll on me in the way of it working on my voice, because I could sit down and talk and remember three or four days before and me talking normally, and, you know, and then I won't be able to say hardly two or three sentences. Mm-hmm.
No, you're doing wonderfully well here, Seth. I want to ask you, when you take cannabis, how do you take it?
When I went out west to Colorado and other bunch of places to find out really what it did, and I was just trying to educate myself about the plant so I could bring it back here to my area where I live and hopefully talk some sense into the elected officials.
You know, that'll be your biggest challenge.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and you think cerebral palsy is bad? Try and convince a politician that cannabis is good.
Yes, exactly. And I have just been, like I said, educating myself so much about it, because when always, let's say, always post things on my Facebook site about cannabis, I'll have messages about, you know, does this work with this type of disability, or does it even help with this, you know, or that? I really don't have the answer for them. So when I went out west and started to educate myself, and I talked to some people while I was out there, and they said, you pretty much have to be your own doctor, because you never know if this strain will help this person when it's the right strain for that illness, so to speak. Mm. So they pretty much said, one strain that will work on this person may not work for you, so you've got to work on that.
Yeah, it's very, very individualized.
Exactly.
Do you just smoke it, or do you do oil? Do you do edibles? Or,
well, see, with me being in Tennessee, it's very hard. And where I'm in the Bible Belt, it even makes it a lot worse. Mm. Rapists will get less and less years than a man or woman getting charged with marijuana. There was a couple of cases I've seen with people getting charged with marijuana, and they end up doing 20 years in prison, and a rapist is doing 5 to 10, maybe 12 years, you know. And so where it's so harder for everybody to get it down here, for me, I will smoke it. And I have learned when I was out west that where I have got a autoimmune disease, I will have to probably ingest it a lot more, because I know that as I get older, the doctors at Shriners Hospital told me that, you know, as I get older, my body will start shutting down and everything. And so with me, in my opinion, with me taking it or ingesting it, I think will help me a lot more than just smoking it alone. But like where I said, where I'm in a illegal state, I have to get what I can. Yeah. You know, like if I have enough to make just a little bit of butter, I will use that. And if I don't, I'll have to smoke.
Now, Seth, when you do take marijuana, cannabis, when you do smoke, does it help many of the symptoms that you have?
Yes. And one of the main thing that it helps with is my pain. And a lot of the elected officials, as you all know, will say that using marijuana for pain, you know, is just bull. You know, it's a way to, it's an excuse for you to use it. But I have not taken a actual prescribed pain pill in 13 years. That is really what I benefit from cannabis. Using it is my pain, because the doctors have told me that pain can bring on seizures as well.
How old are you today?
I'm 26 years old. I'm about to turn 27.
27.
27. Is it tomorrow that you're 27?
I'll be turning 27 July 1st.
Okay, so coming up. And you mentioned to me you're going on some kind of tour or something.
Exactly.
You want to tell us about that?
Well, it's just a birthday tour, pretty much. We might go into Colorado to talk with some people. I got hooked up with a very, very wonderful person, and me and her shares a lot of the illnesses, except cerebral palsy, but we share a lot of the same illnesses, and we clicked automatically. And so on this tour, me and her are going out there, possibly if my body is capable of letting me go.
You know, I think when you get there, Seth, what you should do is really oil up. You should take as much cannabis as you can and see what that does for you. I mean, because you're going to a legal state from an illegal state, and you should take advantage of that.
Yeah, and the first time I went was so amazing, because I actually got to go into a state where it was legal and not have to worry about the law passing you and turning on its blue lights and you getting paranoid just because, you know, you're smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot of stress off of me. It made me feel even better. And the other ways it made me feel better is just the main fact that, you know, I had all of these different strains that these big magazines talk about, that this strain helps for pain, this strain helps for these types of seizures, or this strain helps for MS or whatever have it. And so I felt good enough to where, you know, I was in a state to where I did not have to choose between a natural substance,
mm-hmm.
a poison. And that's how I look at pills.
Well, Seth, it's good that I think you have a great attitude now. And the fact that you're going on a bit of a birthday tour to Colorado and able to access cannabis there legally, I think you may discover a few things about yourself and about cannabis that will be beneficial for you in the future.
Oh, yeah. And the first time that I went, it was just pretty much just for me to get an introduction to it and just to see my surroundings. And yes, I did get to go out, you know, to some places and talk and everything. But as you said, that's exactly right. I feel once I do go back and keep going back, that I will gain a lot more knowledge for myself, but not only for myself, but for my family that is in favor of it, and for the people of my state, and just the elected officials in general, wherever they might be.
Seth, do you have a web page if people want to check you out or contact you?
I just have a regular Facebook fan page, and then I've got my YouTube channel. I'd like to keep it grassroots all the way if I can.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck in the future. Thank you very much for sharing your story.
You're very welcome, and it was a pleasure for being on here.
Thank you, Seth, very, very much.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope y'all enjoyed it, and y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
And we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.